Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community.
Pato Banton's version of Groovin', and before that we played your Madness, talking of which. We've got Jonathan Bacon in. Oh, I was only joking. I'm strong and light in the mood a bit.
Good up. Oh, is it afternoon or morning yet? Sorry, the heat's getting to me.
It's got to you.
Having a bit of trouble hearing myself on the headphones, so I'll take one ear on, one ear off.
That's it, one ear on, one ear off.
That's a bit better. That's
an age thing, isn't it?
Like so many things these days. Wasn't the Billy Connolly thing that said, you know when you've just hit the middle point and it's downhill from there, where you can't bend down without making a noise?
I do that all the time, don't you?
Yeah.
Hey, look, how are you?
I'm very well, yes. Apart from the heat stroke and sweating buckets.
You're going to be okay, though, aren't you? You're going to be. I had Laura Godin in yesterday, and I was very worried about her when she was telling me that, you know, she's feeling a bit hot and a bit weak. And we will get to the end of the show.
No, it's very good in here. I mean, I think those women you've got there with the ostrich feather fans just behind you there. Are they often here or just for today?
Just for today. Okay, I knew you'd like them.
Yeah.
So, look, I know you as Jonathan Bacon, Hair Bear, and...
No one's used that for an awfully long time. That was just when I was on Vectis Radio.
People do. People say to me, oh, how's Hair Bear doing these days?
It's nice to know.
So I know you as that, and you are a counsellor, obviously, and you've got, like, a title. So what's the title?
The title's changed recently. I haven't quite got used to the new one, but it's primarily cabinet member for environment and heritage, and also a few other odds and ends: human resources, legal, democratic services.
So what's your job in simple terms then? What are you actually doing at the moment?
It's essentially what a cabinet member does is strategic oversight of the areas they're given responsibility for. So it's not the day-to-day work, writing the contracts or whatever, but setting the policy direction. So, for example, environment, we are pursuing the Mission Zero project. The idea is to reduce our carbon emissions over the next 20 years. That's the policy direction.
You'll have to get rid of some of them cars you got in, won't you?
They're all recycled. If you remember, a couple of years ago when I was in here on the radio and Ray Harrington Vale was on, we had a discussion about what's more eco, a new electric car or a 30-year-old car in good condition. He said the older car, because all your production costs, etc. One thing that really annoys me, sorry, I'm going to go off on tangents.
Go on.
Everyone talking about saving energy. Why is it that in the brightest sunlight we've had for months, cars are still going around with their lights on?
Yeah. I don't get that at all.
No,
I don't either. I don't switch them on until I have to. You know, it's
when I do switch them on, only one comes on. That's saving energy.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of things. It doesn't make sense. I'm a cynical so and so, and I'm just thinking somebody's just created these electric cars. Yeah, okay, it might be on the surface saving the planet, but at the same time, is AI making somebody a lot of money? It's a bit like the TV thing when they said we're turning off the TV, the normal TV. Now you've got to go and buy yourself big boxes, different TVs, and so on. And someone's made a lot of money out of that as well, haven't they, since? Cynical, I said.
Yeah. Welcome to Communism Hour on Vectis Radio. But things don't get... It's sad, isn't it? But things don't get done these days unless someone's making money.
Well, see, that's the thing, you see. That's when you... It's like those bags. You know, years ago, I mean, how many years ago would it have been? 5, 6 years ago? They said, we're doing away with plastic bags and we're going to put a charge in. Okay, proof's in the pudding. Okay, the pudding's been cooked now. You're still doing plastic bags. You haven't gone over to paper bags. You know, we're still doing plastic bags, even though they said, we're going to do away with that and save the planet and we're going to start charging you. Mm. Well, the reason why you started charging is because you wanted to make money out of us. Okay, because you haven't gone back down the paper bag route. You know, that to me, it's like 5, 6, 7 years on, it gives you an insight of what people wanted from the beginning. And we all thought that you were going to, not you personally, but people were going to save the planet with these plastic bags.
But there are changes in behaviour. There are.
using the same plastic bag?
People will... Well, if you get the proper recycle bags, they are reusable. They're not made from damaging plastics. Yes, the day-to-day ones, you have to buy 20p if you forget your bags. I don't know. They seem to be just like the old bags. But if you think of a big supermarket 30 years ago and you had those ratty little carrier bags and people wander away with 10 of those, you knew they were going to be in the rubbish bin 2 hours later. I think there's a change, but some of these things do take
a long time.
We're still doing it, but there's a change in behaviour. And people, I think...
You can't do that, Jonathan.
You can't do it overnight. And you do have people are actually thinking... You know, I did it myself the other day. Get in the car. Oh, no, I haven't got my bag. I haven't got my shopping bag. Get out the car and go back and get it. I wouldn't have done that 20 years ago.
No. I get that, but it just infuriates me that the reason why it was put there or done was because people said they were trying to save the planet. Here we are, 5, 6, 7 years on. No, you're still making money out of plastic bags. So you said you were going to be honest, and you weren't. Not you personally, again. I've got to stress that. This isn't a council thing. This is a national thing. Yeah. And I just think, there you go. You find out where we all are.
But you come up with any scheme like that,
How long do you think
the way the world works. Someone's going to make money out of it.
How long do you think there's going to be, though?
Why is Tesla? Tesla's there to make money, but they're trying to make money by doing the electric cars, whatever. It's people will try and make... This is like electron communism, isn't it? The people will try and make money out of whatever is the thing to make money out of.
I have been called a communist before, but... That's fine, I can handle that. Yeah. Worse, in fact. But
people are making money out of vaping now. Because that's where the market is. People are moving away from cigarettes. Yeah. That's been a big change. That's something you can really notice.
But is that more healthy, though?
Not from what you hear on the radio, particularly. But, as I say, it seems to be the change. It seems to be... I haven't smoked since I was college student. But... it's supposed to be a way to help you stop smoking, isn't it? But so that's where people are going to pitch in and try and make the money by coming up with I don't understand vaping at all, by the tubes, whatever, and what you put in. It becomes a market. The next thing that hopefully is going to take you towards where you need to be environmentally, economically, there will be a way of making money out of it.
Yeah. Sadly, but that's, because otherwise...
Well, maybe sadly, but if it actually means that you get someone who then puts in the research, takes the time, develops the product that is better, that does help, and they make a profit out of that, that's the way
the world
works.
I suppose it's a win-win situation, because they'll employ people and so on. I can see all that. So, but how difficult does that make your role at the moment, then, bearing in mind what it is?
I think there's been a definite change in the last few years about climate change. The story I tell, actually, is because I had a few years away from being a councillor, and you would, if you had the heavy rain, you would go around to someone's house and you would get a tirade from them, and it would be the council, Island Roads, da-da-da, and they would be just firing their anger for the fact they had a flooded front room at relevant authority. But last year we had some of those really serious weather events, and I went as a councillor to see people who'd suffered, and it was really striking because people again had a tirade, but what they said was climate change. They didn't blame the authorities. They blamed... they did say climate change.
So they read up on it then for a change.
But it was just interesting. You know, it's that slow change of attitude and perception. And yes, there are still a significant number of people who would not take that view. But there's just been... I think we tipped a balance a couple of years ago. Maybe it's around the COP26 thing. That people are now seeing... that the bigger picture and where the issue really lies. I think so, and maybe I'm being a bit over optimistic in saying that, but that's certainly as someone who goes out and has to help people with problems every now and then, and someone is always going to get the blame here, just to see the transfer of blame from an agency to the environment or the problems with the environment. It's something that stuck in my head because I found it quite striking at the time.
Okay, well, what I want to say as well, and I want to make sure because I know that there was a press release this week about the way we recycle on the island, and we're like top of the league in this, that, and the other, and we're talking about batteries as well. And I know that, you know, it's that's all going really, really well on the island, and we're kind of leading the way, which is fantastic. And I think maybe that mindset, maybe that mentality will, you know, go up the country and so on, and encourage more and more people on the island to become involved with, you know, put your batteries in the right place, you know, keep using those the proper bins and so on.
Would you have done two bins 20 years ago?
Probably not. No,
I wouldn't either. I think very few people would have done that.
Do you know
what?
You're right, Bacon. You're right. People's mindsets are changing.
Yeah.
And
but if you remember, it takes a nudge, and sometimes a very hard nudge, because if you remember the reaction when initially those green and black bins were rolled out, there was anger.
Yeah, there was.
And it's a bit like water meters when they first came out. We were one of the areas that first got water meters, and I can remember, it must have been early 80s, I think they were trying them out, and my father refused to have one, and in the village where they were put in, people were opening up the flaps and putting dog mess down there to mess up the system. Maybe it's just the sort of places I live, but you see now that people have that, and now they're moving to the smart meters and so on. And again, there's a reaction against change, but just very gradually things do go the right way.
Yeah, change.
And I think the bins thing is good, and the batteries thing. That was an idea that came our way last year, and it's very simple. You just have a little receptacle on the side of the lorry where batteries can be put into it, and since that happened we have had no fires in the rubbish processing unit, whereas before people, probably even with the best will in the world, would occasionally a battery would end up in there. And bang, you'd have an explosion, you'd have a fire. There's some really quite shocking film of some of those incidents. And we've had none of that since this system was introduced. Only a few weeks, obviously.
No, I think it's fantastic.
It's a good knock-on effect of the change.
Can you do me a favour? Can you put this video out there so you can see, so people can actually see it for their own eyes?
I think it was made public.
I think it was
on a YouTube or Facebook thing. But, I shall make a note.
Please, yeah. Because, you know, I go to the council website often for updates, but, you know, video's there. Forget Facebook and what's it. If you go onto the news site there, it's a case of that's where I want to see it. Mm. Or maybe it should be attached to the actual press release as well when it goes onto the council website. You can see for yourself then, because some people might not believe. Some people need to see it to believe. So maybe if it's on the website, it's a 60-second thing. This is what happens when you put batteries in the wrong place.
Yeah.
Help us.
There's definitely something. I thought I'd seen it on a public thing.
That's where we come in. Come on, I can help you with all this. So we need to get the message out there, don't we?
Absolutely.
We need to change people's mindsets, because that's what you're up against. It's not the fact that, you know, the damage being done to the planet, that will just continue if you don't change the mindset. So that's one then. Are you busy? How busy are you? Because I heard a couple of weeks ago that you were like council leader for about 4 days. Do you want to talk us through that?
Not really. No, it was just Laura, the leader. She came down with COVID. She's managed to avoid it for over 2 years. And then out of the blue, she managed to get struck down with it. And she was out of action for a few days.
Is she all right now?
She's
good.
Firing on all cylinders again now, and Ian Stevens was at a local government conference in up north, so I was next down the line. Yes,
I
didn't muck about too much,
and nothing happened. So you're all right.
I think a measure went okay. Nothing happened.
Okay, that's
if something terrible had happened in those 3 days, then
you would have got blamed for it, wouldn't you?
I'd have got blamed for it. Yes.
Yeah. So what other things are you working on at the moment?
The key thing really is the council's approach to climate change and our Mission Zero project. It still sounds like a lot of talk, I expect, to people out there. But what is happening is we're putting the mechanisms, the knowledge, the bodies in place so that hopefully come September we can really start pushing out messages as to what to do, what effect things can have, encouraging people to take steps to mitigate the carbon. We had an interesting meeting, really a sort of first step on that, transferring the thought into action with the town and parish councils last week. And the suggestion was just put to them, you know, don't try and do everything, try and change the planet yourself, but if you can think of three things that your town, your parish can do that could reduce carbon levels, looking at energy use in your buildings, putting solar panels on those buildings, whatever it might be, then just come up with three things and work on those, and it all starts to have an effect. Every little bit adds to the bigger picture. So, as I say, that's a first step, but that will become much more of the process of what we're doing, as I say, putting things into action rather than just thinking where can we draw on the knowledge, putting together groups of people, committees and so on. Yes, it's a council, we have to have committees, but we're using a lot of people, not just within the council. It's much bigger than the council. It's not a council thing, essentially. It's an island thing. It's a planet thing. To just make sure we've got people who, whether it be in relation to land use, education, the tourist industry, can just say, that would work, that's a problem, can we do something about that? Is there any expertise from the other side of the fence? Say you've got land use, ramblers, agriculture, get all those people in a room so they can come up with a reasoned, acceptable way to go forward that all parties buy into. So you're not just trying to push one idea and someone on the other side doesn't like it. So we've got a guy called Rob Sovan, who used to be in Vestas, who has used the connections he's had over the years, not just in the renewable energy sector, but to draw together a lot of people in various sectors. Yeah, it's a lot of people working, but he's sort of been the lead coordinator of this, so that we have got a pool of pools, even of expertise, that can then be used to refer ideas to drive ideas forward. Say this needs to be done. Then we'll work out how we get that message out there. I'm sure we'll be coming to Vectis Radio and say we've got this really good idea. We want people to understand it. We want people to put it into action. And we're going to, a lot of it's going to be about just communicating what people can do and how they can act for the planet's interests and their own interests.
Do you know what? Get them in as soon as you possibly can, and for as long as you like. If we, you know, I'd love to, you know, I want us to play our part in what's going to happen. We need to. We need to, so use us as a mouthpiece. We can shout probably louder than yourself and so on. Because I'm all for
it. The colours in here are the right colours as well, because you've got the lovely green logo.
Yeah. So
you're the green radio station for the island.
Well, you know, we'd like to think so, but we really want to play our part because it's vital. It really is vital that we all get on board with this, because otherwise, what will happen? It'll just start falling apart.
The weather will be like it is today every day, if you're a real doom merchant, and it's not good.
No, it's not good. So we've got to start doing something, and I'm all for it. What's the name of the project again?
Mission Zero.
Mission Zero.
Yeah, there have been a few press releases and some information out there, but the real drive is going to come probably after the school holidays. We have this thing on the island where everything stops for the school holidays. Not an awful lot gets done in government circles and so on, unless it's an emergency. But I'm sort of latching onto the beginning of September as the point where, when everyone's back thinking about these things, the schools are back, cause they're going to be a big part of this, we've then got the foundation to start driving things forward.
Now look here, if you're going to wait 6 weeks, You know, a lot can happen in 6 weeks.
Well, there's still work to be done to get the mechanisms together. That's not stopping. We're not having a break from that.
No.
But I'm saying that's the point at which we should have, as it were, stage one done, and we can move to stage two.
Going into schools, that's important because obviously, you know, it's. I know there's something we did with Ray Harrington Vale about 7 or 8 years ago, where we had three young kids that came in, did the 4 P's. And then they went home and asked all these questions of the people that were living with the parents, you know, the sisters and brothers and uncles maybe, and they were asking things like, how long do you shower for? What do you do with your rubbish? How, you know, what do you do to recycle, and so on? And it was fascinating what came back. But it was a case
of... I've got an image of sending children home with a clipboard.
No, it was
right, Mum.
Recording.
Review the day.
No, it's worse than that. Recording device. So they're all recorded. This is their voice. They couldn't have fixed that form tick there. No, this is their voice. This is what come out. And he made the point of saying, if you're having a shower longer than 4 minutes, you just rather have you sooner have a bath because you're not saving any money, and so on. So it's those kind of things. And people like Ray Harrington Vale are going to play a major part in advising and so on. But I think the more important thing is, weeks after this, because we carried on this on for 6 weeks, they all started, members of the family started doing the things that they should be doing.
Yeah.
You know, the recycling.
If you get the message across in the right way,
kids will shame their parents.
And children are some of the best educators, because, my daughter, I'm sure she did it to me years ago. I was just about to throw something away. Not in that bin. And you are shamed.
that's Frank, isn't it?
That's Frank.
Yeah,
yes.
And she was Frank. Yeah, just look, not there. See, I think kids are great. And I think if you go into schools and get them on side before the summer holidays...
We've got about a week,
Well, I know, but, I mean, come on, let's do it. Get it out there.
This will really, as I say... Once we've got the messages there, we'll hopefully start putting this into the curriculum for schools as well. I mean, there have been elements of it. We had the wonderful Mardi Gras procession on Saturday, and that was dealing with elements of the environment and biosphere. But what happened there was that was launched the end of last year, early this year, and schools were given a subject. So St Helens, for example, was given trees, and time was given over so that the children could study what trees do, why are they valuable to the environment, what sort of trees are valuable, when can you plant them there, and they learnt a lot of really good stuff. But at the same time, having fun, because they were also running the project to create their costumes and a parade. Their element of the parade that took place. So while for a lot of people they just saw that parade on Saturday, there was months of study behind that.
Good.
And the children who were trees or lumberjacks or whatever, they'd learnt why they were dressed like that, what the importance of that was, and lots of other subjects as well.
No, fabulous.
And to say, if you get that... You have to work with the school timetable, but if you get it into the school timetable, into what they are formally learning about, it just really helps. It shouldn't be an optional extra. It should be part of the curriculum, what children are studying.
Good. That sounds promising. That sounds... Because I say, coin a phrase, the children are the future. And if you've got them in that mindset of doing that, when they come up and grow up, they're going to pass it on, because we all know that we all take on our mothers and fathers' habits and mindsets and so on. So if we're starting that young, they get older, pass it on to their kids, and then the same thing will carry on. So that's a positive. That's a knock
and
on.
And that's part of that gradual change. If you educate the new generation, they can start to make up for the default of the previous generation.
I've got to point out, we've got about sort of 7 or 8 minutes left, because I'm kind of limiting the studio time in here, because I'm hot, and I know you are as well. So what's the most important thing? Have you already said the most important thing that you want to get across today? Because I'm pretty...
I think that is... sorry, I didn't realise it was going to be time restricted. But
Sorry, but...
No, but as I say, the Mission Zero project and what's coming forward, I think that is the most important thing that...
Get on board anyone, with it. That's what we're saying.
There are three key things that the council is, the Alliance administration is working to deal with at the moment. Climate change is one of them. That's my bag. We do have serious issues with poverty on the island, and we do have serious issues with housing, and that's Councillor Stevens and the leader, Laura, they are particularly looking at that. But those are our three key areas to deal with, and they're all about making for a sustainable future for the island and the people on the island.
Which comes first then? Because, say, the housing problem or the poverty problem? I mean, I really don't understand.
I don't know, to be honest, but housing seems the most pressing problem. And particularly if you look at the rental market at the moment, it's quite frightening. We seem to have had essentially a collapse of the rental market, and a lot of that seems to be down to the Airbnb effect. And suddenly, you know, everyone's on a staycation the last few years, and suddenly property that would normally be available for a 6-month long-term let, it's not there. It's collapsed. It's possibly even 80% of it has disappeared.
I blame Maggie Thatcher selling all them council houses. If we had those council houses,
we have no council houses on the island.
Honestly, I say it tongue in cheek, but at the same time, I mean what I'm saying. I think it's a really sad state of affairs that we've got people that are, you know, waiting to and can't, you know, move in because we don't have any houses for them. Years ago, there were estates, you know, I lived on a council estate, yeah, and I'm not ashamed to say that. You know, it was a lifesaver for my mum. We lived in our gran's house for X amount of years, and I just think it's sad that we did that all those years ago. But what's the way out? How do we... Because if the problem I see is... Back in 1970, when I moved into our 1969, I moved into our council house. Okay, it was earmarked for families like ours. Okay, we can go out and we can build as many houses as you like, but the unfortunate thing is, there's only a certain amount of people that can afford them. The people that need them can't really afford them. So that's that. We're in a situation where, you know, yes, you can build as many houses as you like, but you're still going to have the same problem because it doesn't stop people from the mainland coming over, snapping up the houses, and you've still got the same issue.
There's no quick solution. Part of the idea is to... There are empty properties. There are properties not being used. Council can buy those up.
I've got a list if you want it.
We've got a list as well. We're working through it. Because if you look at new builds, we have a very skewed property market on the island. There were some figures at a meeting last night. I think the average new build property price, something like $370,000.
Oh, who's going to afford that?
You need to have an income of... to even forget the deposit, to just make that affordable, of about 65-70 as your income. And very few people on the island have that. Yes, of course there are some, but the average wage level on the island is way below that. Always has been, always will be, because we're an island economy, we're a tourist economy, and so you're absolutely right. So there need to be other ways of dealing with that problem. And hopefully finding new ways to build so that things can be affordable. And as I say, looking at the empty properties, looking at the property that can be repurposed to try and serve the need that is out there. There's a massive need out there. So that is probably the most immediate pressing problem, because poverty is underlying that, obviously, but There's no quick fix for that. Don't even ask me how we approach that, but we have to approach it. The housing, there are ideas. We know it needs to be done, and yeah, there's a lot of work going into that. I suppose my thing, climate change, seems a bit esoteric compared to that, and a bit airy-fairy, but it is part of the wider future. I mentioned affordability just then. There's been this long-standing idea: affordable means it's a bit cheaper than a normal house. Well, great, but if the house is actually rubbish and it costs three times as much to live there because it's badly built, badly insulated, badly heated, that's not affordable. Affordable must mean affordable to live in, and that means something that is actually sustainable. And that brings you into all that stuff about renewable energy, making sure that the water leaving the property is dealt with in the right way so it doesn't become a flood risk, and all those sort of discussions we've been having over the last year. So the things all tie in. But yeah, housing is our real crisis at the moment.
I want to tell you what's bugging me at the moment.
Just one thing.
No, well, there's a number of things, but I think you could help. All right. Now, I've given this idea to a number of people, and you know, and they look at me as if I'm daft. You're talking about poverty, and people being able to afford homes. Okay. Every month we get figures from the Office of National Statistics saying there's 3,000 people claiming job whatever on the island. Okay. It's basically what they're saying is it's 3,000 people draining the system. Okay, that's what they're getting at, because there's no, they don't counteract that with how many jobs there are. They don't counteract that with, oh, by the way, there's 150 jobs going at the council, there's 40 jobs going at a census, and X amount of jobs going elsewhere. And I took the time and the trouble to ask somebody how many jobs are going at the council. I haven't had an answer yet, but in one particular department, there's 125 jobs that are going. And I look at that and I think, there's 125 jobs. We're saying that there's 3,000 people unemployed. There's 125. There's loads of jobs elsewhere. So why don't we start a little campaign? The one that we're starting the campaign with, you know, the saving the planet and so on, get people back to work. Encourage them to get back to work. Don't just say 3,000 people are unemployed. No, hang on a minute, because you tell people, and I said this in front of a young lad, 18, goes to St George's School, and I said to him, did you know that there's 3,000 people unemployed? And then before we could say anything, the teacher, yeah, it's a lot, isn't it? People are in the mindset where, oh, I'll go for the job, but there's no chance of getting it because so many other people are going for the same jobs. And you think, There's probably thousands of jobs on the island that are going. Mm. They're just not out there for people to see. Now, this would have a knock-on effect if we put them out there. Introduce them to companies that have got plenty of jobs, plenty of work. We want to take you on. We want to help. That would eradicate some of the problems that you have. People would then be able to afford. And the poverty won't be quite so bad because, you know, people are being introduced to work and so on. And I'm not having a go at it, and I'm not saying, oh, people are lazy and they don't want to work. It's just half the time. It's just that encouragement. That kid that was here went away with the thought of, well, next time I apply for the job, I'm going to feel more confident. And that was just one person. So that's the reason why I'm saying this, is we're all in a mindset. We beat ourselves up every month. 3,000 people are unemployed. Yeah, but how many jobs are going? There's X amount at the council. Yeah. And I say, you go and do the research, because I asked the leader of the council and she's yet to get back to me. Come on, Laura. Because honestly, this means a lot, and this is something that we can do to help ourselves. We can all say, yeah, poverty's a problem. Yeah, but if we're not doing those kind of things, it's not going to resolve everything.
No, I agree with you, and yeah, how do you do it? I mean, there's... apprenticeship schemes, we've had some of those, and they seem to be a very positive way to just introduce people to work and jobs, and get them over that hurdle that you're suggesting exists.
The other thing I just want to say, Jonathan.
I wonder if some of the jobs are attractive enough to people, and... That it's not my area, so I'm not going to claim to be any sort of expert on this.
If you don't give them the opportunity, they ain't never going to know, are they?
Yeah, but you need to make the opportunity attractive enough. So, you know, some jobs are pretty dire, and they tend to be the ones that don't really bring in much of an income. And there's that sort of value judgment that people are making, I suspect. So if work is more attractive, and say how you do that, I don't know. I'm not clever enough to, but you're right. It's that there's a mismatch between those people who are unemployed and the jobs that are available. That seems to be it. And how you correct that,
It's pointing people in the right direction. Yeah. It needs to be corrected. It really does. And I say, it's pointing people in the right direction. And it's a win-win situation. It might not come to anything, but if you don't know, if you don't do, nothing will happen. And you know, and this is the point I want to make as well, you know that the council or any other business that has X amount of jobs going in their sector, in big business, you know that if they haven't got the people doing the jobs, they can't perform the way they need to perform. Mm. You just imagine, I mean, you know, here we are, we're probably crying out at the hospital. There's probably loads of jobs at the hospital, and there probably is. There's probably loads of jobs at the council, and, you know, we just need to reintroduce people, tell them where to go. I'll be honest with you, I've asked people that have been employed for many, many years, where are you going? Where do you want a job now? Where'd you go? Where'd you go? And, I don't know, I never thought about it. And I'll be honest with you, I struggled with that one. I really did. I thought, well, there used to be a job centre on the high street. Where is it now? No, I'm pretty sure that there are people that do know. But the most important thing here is if we turn our back and do nothing, the numbers just keep going up and they just become that. They're just numbers every month. But hey, look, let's try and help people get back to work.
But I think very basic point you make there, but a very good one, is that it's recognising those are issues and something needs to be done. Then you actually start the process of thinking about it, because if you just brush the problem aside, oh, there's no problem really, you know, you say the employment market, it's just as it is, as you're saying, then you're right, nothing will get done. But just the way to cure a problem is to accept there's a problem, whatever that quote is. And I think, I'd hope we're in a situation where we're actually identifying that something needs to be done. We don't know what it is.
When you mention poverty and so on, it's like, you know, it's heartbreaking, you know.
But I think that's something that hasn't been faced up to for a long time. The island has always had, what's that phrase that's used, pockets of deprivation. There's always been an issue. It's something you get in coastal communities, and being an island with, if you like, a coastal community plus, you get issues with education, you get issues with poverty, you get issues with the employment market when you rely on seasonal businesses like tourism. And I think for a long time, people have just said, well, that's the way it is. But you can't carry on like that. You can't carry on like that.
Not when people are hungry.
And I think we've suddenly, maybe it's the fact we're now in this fuel crisis, bills are suddenly rocketing. You suddenly realise, we should have dealt with this a long time ago. Mm. And now we're struggling to keep up with the problem, which has just exacerbated, and we're at a stand, the problem's racing ahead, and the solutions are still at the starting gate.
Well, look, good luck with all of that, and if there's anything we can do to help out,
I'll come back
really
in a week and tell you what we've done about it.
Please do. Come back at any time you like, because as I say, we just want to help. When you mention homeless, when you mention you know, people that are hungry, and let's be honest, a lot of the people are hungry are kids. Mm. Breaks your heart, it really does. And I say, it's about time we woke up from a slumber, because that's what we're in. You know, people are hungry, people are here on the island. I mean, I was horrified 10, 12 years ago when somebody told me there was a food bank on the island. It's 2022, and we've learnt nothing, and probably sat on our hands for most of that time, sadly. Yeah. But we've got to start doing something to help ourselves.
Because if you've got a situation where not just you've got food banks, but people are relying on them,
and
that's a serious situation.
It is. Hey, look, thank you for coming in. I'm sorry you've got to cut you short, because we've got to get the studio ready for the next person.
Righto.
So you've got to get out
now. I can take a hint.
Are you going to take me over the road for a pub lunch?
Am I?
Yeah, I thought that was the deal, wasn't it?
Oh. Is that just because you saw my wallet sitting on top of my notebook?
Well, yeah, you want to check that first before you leave? I've got your card.
Our island, our Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.